Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. Tonight's prize play is by Patrick Michael Kleffer of St. Paul, Minnesota. The title, Love is a Two-Sided Thing. The star, Gene Hirschold, in the role of Dr. Christian. Ably assisted by Rosemary DeCamp, who plays Judy Price. And in addition to presenting this very fine play tonight, we're going to take you to the nation's capital and give you the opportunity to listen in on the 21st annual banquet of the Medical Society of the District of Columbia, where they're honoring Dr. Christian this year for his meritorious service to medicine. Say, fellas, suppose you're going to the big football rally with that extra special girl. Will she look up at you and think? Or will she turn away and think?
Uh-oh, dry scalp.
Well, you may have dry scalp without realizing it. If your hair is dry, unruly, and sheds loose dandruff, you probably have dry scalp. Check that dry scalp promptly with famous Vaseline Hair Tonic. By supplementing natural scalp oils, Vaseline Hair Tonic relieves scalp dryness, checks bothersome and unattractive loose dandruff. Yes, and Vaseline Hair Tonic makes your hair look and feel its natural best, gives you handsome-looking, well-groomed hair. Hair that combs more easily and stays neatly in place. What's more, Vaseline Hair Tonic is non-alcoholic, non-drying, and it's so economical to use. The large economy size is only 73 cents. Other sizes, 25 cents and 41 cents plus tax. Look for the familiar green and white package and get Vaseline Hair Tonic for double care of scalp and hair. Now for our prize play, Love is a Two-Sided Thing. And it begins in Dr. Christian's familiar office. Grant Newman, newly elected county attorney, has just walked in the door.
Good morning, Doctor. I'm Grant Newman.
Glad to see you, Mr. Newman. And congratulations on your election.
Oh, you made a fine showing, Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Judy.
And what can I do for you?
About 2 months ago, Dr. Christian, you were called to the scene of an accident on the outskirts of River's End.
Oh, yes. An old man had been injured very badly. He died before I arrived.
He'd been struck by an automobile driven by Earl Carlson.
Yes, Earl said this man walked right into the path of the car.
Yes, I know what Carlson said.
Oh, it was a very rainy night, Mr. Newman. It would have been very difficult to see the old man until he stepped into the car lights.
All this, Dr. Christian, may or may not be true. Earl Carlson was drunk that night.
And that, Mr. Newman, may or may not be true. Earl Carlson is a hard-working, quiet, well-behaved citizen.
Runs a night spot on the outskirts of town, doesn't he?
I, for one, have never heard anything against Earl Carlson or his place.
Maybe not. But there is something against Earl Carlson now. A charge of manslaughter.
Well, I thought the case was closed.
It was, by my predecessor. I am reopening it.
Earl Carlson was cleared. There was no evidence against him.
He was cleared by local authorities. He was never tried. I'll want you as a state's witness, Dr. Christian.
Oh, well, I'll testify, of course. I don't know whether it'll prove for or against Earl Carlson.
Well, that's all I ask. Thank you, Dr. Christian. I knew I could count on you. After all, we're in businesses that are much alike, doing our best to cure ills. You physical ills, I social ills.
Yes, but Dr. Christian doesn't think up imaginary diseases just so he can have the honor of saying he's cured them.
Judy.
I believe I've said all I've come to say, Dr. Christian. You may be called very soon for the trial. Very soon. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Judy, that wasn't very nice of you to hint that he's prosecuting Earl Carlson just to build up his reputation.
I don't care. He thinks he's got a cinch case, trying poor Earl Carlson at the county seat where no one will know him, where he'll have no friends to defend him.
Oh, don't worry, Judy. Earl's got friends. I'm going to check around River's End and find out more about that accident.
A couple of packages of cigarettes, please, Ernie.
There you are. That be all, Mr. Newman?
Yes.
Doing a little shopping in River's End, Mr. Newman?
Why, I don't think I know you.
You should know me. I'm Earl Carlson.
Earl Carlson.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Newman. Want a Coke or anything?
Your habits are getting milder, Carlson.
Two Cokes, Ernie.
Okay.
What is it you have to say to me?
It's about this court action.
I assumed it was. But I don't think we have anything to discuss.
I think we do.
Well?
I want you to call off this case. For your sake as well as mine, call it off before it's too late.
Are you threatening me?
Threatening? Don't be silly.
There you are, Mr. Carlson. Two Cokes.
Charge them to me, Ernie.
Right.
You're a young man. You're starting out in the world. Don't make any big mistakes.
I don't know whether you're trying to threaten or bribe me, Carlson, but I want none of it. Good afternoon. Hello, Eileen. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right, Grant. Dinner can wait. Oh, darling, you look so tired.
I've been working pretty hard today on a case.
Oh, what kind of case?
Manslaughter action against a River's End man.
What River's End man?
Oh, you remember, dear? That accident that happened while I was campaigning.
But, Grant, I read all about it in the papers when it happened, and, well, Earl Carlson is innocent.
You seem to remember the case quite well. Even remembered the man's name.
I thought the case was dead.
Very much alive. I've been working on it for several weeks now. The way things look, I think I can get a conviction.
Maybe Earl Carlson isn't guilty.
Now, what is all this? I don't see where it concerns you so much.
Grant.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eileen. I don't mean to be harsh. But you've got to understand it's my duty to prosecute the guilty, no matter who gets hurt.
Yes, so it is. I see that now. Christian?
Yes? Oh, come in. I didn't see you stand in the doorway. My nurse must have stepped out for a moment. What can I do for you?
Thank you. I'm Eileen Newman, Dr. Christian.
Newman? Newman.
I believe my husband was here yesterday. Grant Newman?
Oh, yes. And, what is it you want me to do, Mrs. Newman?
I don't know for sure, Dr. Christian. It's about the Earl Carlson case.
Yes, your husband explained about it, Mrs. Newman.
From his point of view.
Oh? Then I'm to understand that your point of view is not precisely the same?
It's far from being the same, Dr. Christian.
Well, would you care to make that clear?
I've heard how much you've helped others, Dr. Christian. I know you won't mind if I get very personal. You see, I come from a very poor family. I left home early, right after I got out of high school. I wanted to leave everything behind. I even went so far as to change my name. I was working in a library when I met Grant. He was in law school then. I didn't tell him about my family either before or after we were married. I wanted to tell him everything. Thought I'd be able to after we were married. But I haven't. I didn't mean to deceive him in any way. Now this.
And now what, Mrs. Newman?
Oh, Dr. Christian. The man my husband is going to prosecute for manslaughter. That man is my brother.
But good gracious, Dr. Christian, that puts both of them in such an awful position.
Yes, it is awkward, Judy.
Well, what can he do? If he's really sincere about it, he'll have to go through with it. After all, if Earl is guilty, well, it's Grant Newman's duty, as he says, whether it's his brother-in-law or not. What did you advise the wife to do?
It's too late, but I thought it best that she make a full confession.
Oh, I think you're right, Dr. Christian. But, well, won't it make a difference? I mean, between them? After all, she did hide it. She did pretend in a way that she was somebody else. It shouldn't, but it just might make a difference.
Well, if it makes a... and changes things for him, maybe the sooner he finds out, the better.
And it's certainly best that he find out from her. No telling what he'd think if it got to him some other way.
As a matter of fact, Judy, he's going to hear it from somebody else.
Why, Dr. Christian, what do you mean?
Mrs. Newman has asked me to tell him.
Thank you.
What is it, Dr. Christian? Have you discovered some new evidence?
As a matter of fact, it discovered itself to me.
Really?
As a doctor, I often find myself in quite intimate contact with people. Sometimes against my will.
The same in my business, Dr. Christian.
Of course, of course. And that's why I'm sure you'll understand and not be angry.
Angry? At what?
At what I've been asked to tell you.
Asked to tell me? Beginning to sound mysterious.
I don't know how to approach this thing directly, Grant.
Well, tell me the way you want to, then, but tell me.
You are a young, ambitious man. Oh, that's all to the good. But it has its drawbacks, too. Sometimes it makes one's view quite limited. You have styled your life for big things, Grant. You wear just the right clothes, you drive just the right car, you live in just the right house, and you married just the right girl.
Doesn't sound very complimentary when you put it that way, Dr. Christian. I suppose, for the most part, you're right in what you say, except for the part about Eileen.
You mean she isn't the right girl for your plans?
I didn't say that. I didn't marry her because she was a stepping stone to something higher. I could have had that sort of marriage. I married Eileen because I loved her very much. And now what is it you have to say?
Eileen wanted me to tell you that...
Eileen, what...
It was something she couldn't seem to say herself. This Earl Carlson you are bringing into court...
Oh, does have something to do with that case.
Earl Carlson is your wife's brother.
What? Earl Carlson is Eileen's brother? Oh, Dr. Christian, what kind of joke is this? Why, her name was not...
Oh, she had changed her name, Grant.
Changed it? Eileen had changed her... Now I know you're joking.
It's true.
She never told me a thing about it.
I don't know for sure, but I think she didn't tell you everything because she loved you.
Loved me? And not tell me everything I have a right to know?
She thought it might make a difference in the way you felt about her.
She certainly could have confided anything in.
Could she have?
Well, I'm going to have this thing out right now. You come with me, Dr. Christian.
I know it doesn't help, Grant. But all I can say is I'm sorry. I've made an awful mistake, an awful mess. But I didn't mean to.
Good intentions.
In the long run, Grant, good intentions are still better than bad.
The fact that she meant no harm doesn't make the situation any better. If you had deliberately tried, Eileen, you couldn't have put me in a more untenable position. If I pull out of this case after making such an issue of it, people are bound to suspect something. And then if they find out that Earl Carlson is my brother-in-law, well, my career isn't worth a $6 bill.
I'm terribly sorry, Grant.
I looked at from another angle. If you do continue the case, people will think you are a very excellent county attorney and probably make you governor.
Very funny, Dr. Christian. You do have a point there. Despite Eileen's feelings, I must prosecute. Earl Carlson is guilty.
Grant.
And since he's guilty, I can't see any way out but to continue just as I'd planned.
Grant.
Yes?
The evidence you possess definitely proves that whoever was driving that car that night is guilty of manslaughter.
Yes, Earl Carlson's car ran down and killed a man. He had been drinking. It all adds up in my mind. Why do you insist Carlson is not guilty?
Can't you see what I'm trying to say, Grant? I was driving that night.
Good Lord, Eileen, how could you? How could you let me go this far in the case? Letting me bring a charge like that against an innocent man. Would have been bad enough if the guilty party had been your brother, but now to find out that you're involved...
If you only knew how many times I wanted to come to you, have you hold me in your arms, tell you about all this, have you comfort me?
Comfort you?
Grant, look at it from her point of view. It must have been terrible for her.
Oh, really? And is she the one that'll be laughed at? Will she be the one accused of bungling? How did you happen to be driving the car, anyway?
It was Earl's birthday. He's always been my favorite brother, the one who made life bearable for me at home. You were attending another one of your meetings. Anyway, Earl had a few drinks. I hadn't touched anything, so I was driving him around in his car before I came home.
Yes?
It was just as Earl explained to the police at the time. We weren't going fast. The old man just seemed to run out of the bushes.
Why in heaven's name didn't you stay and explain it then?
I was scared. Scared of you and for you, Grant. You were just in the middle of your campaign then.
Well?
We knew the election was going to be close, and just this thing involving your wife might have made you lose. I knew the election meant so much to you. I couldn't see then that this would happen. I thought it would just blow over. And it did until...
Never mind that now. What happened after the accident?
Well, you pretty well know the rest, Dr. Christian. I ran away. Earl called you immediately. When the police came, Earl took all the blame to shield me and you, Grant.
I'm so grateful for the consideration.
Sometimes I feel it was more than you would have done for me.
That's a fine way to talk.
Dr. Christian, could I go back to River's End with you? I can't stay here now, Grant. I won't make this any worse for you.
Oh, but Eileen, it... Well, this is impossible. You know how people talk about that sort of thing. You can't leave now.
This thing means more than just this incident, Grant. It has a lot to do with what we mean and feel toward each other.
All right, then. All right, go on, get out. Only don't come back here weeping and wailing.
I don't think you need worry about that, Grant. But one thing more. If you're really sincere, Grant, if you're really certain that the driver of that car is guilty, you have no other choice than to prosecute me. Shall we go, Dr. Christian? Dr. Christian, you finally got here. You know, we've got to hurry if we're going to get to the trial on time.
Judy, I finally found somebody.
Found somebody, Doctor?
I mean somebody who saw the accident.
Oh, Dr. Christian, how did you do it?
Oh, a doctor can sometimes find out a lot more than a county attorney, but never mind that now. The important thing is that this man was with the old man the night of the accident.
Oh.
And it was an accident, an unavoidable accident. Whoever was driving wasn't responsible.
Where is he now?
Oh, down in my car waiting. Come on, Judy.
I'm right behind you, Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, this is more like an angry football crowd than a courtroom.
Yes, we must have missed something important, Judy. Ronnie.
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian. Judy.
Hello.
What's all the disturbance about, Ronnie?
Why, Dr. Christian, that young crook of a county attorney has called off the case.
Order! Order! All right, you have the room clear. Now, Mr. Newman, do I understand you correctly? You want to dismiss the county's case against Earl Carlson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why, Mr. Newman?
I have uncovered new evidence, Your Honor, that definitely proves that Earl Carlson was not guilty of the charge. The charge that I, on not very solid grounds, brought against him.
And what is this evidence?
It is of a confidential nature, Your Honor, and cannot be presented in open court.
I'll tell you what it is. Newman's been bribed. I overheard Carlson and the CA talking in my drugstore.
Judge, Your Honor. Oh, what's
Eileen.
Are you addressing the bench, madam?
Yes, Your Honor. I know it's highly irregular, but I have something to say very relevant to this case.
Your Honor, I object. Eileen, stay out of this.
What is it you wish to say, madam?
Your Honor, I am Grant Newman's wife.
You are the county attorney's wife?
Yes, Your Honor. And I can tell you the evidence he's obtained that proves Earl Carlson innocent.
I must remind Your Honor...
Objection overruled. Go ahead, Mrs. Newman.
Your Honor, the reason my husband allowed these charges of bribery to be hurled against him was to shield me. I was driving the car that night.
Your Honor, if you please.
Dr. Christian.
Your Honor, I have here with me a man who was an eyewitness to the fatal accident that night. If you will put him on the stand... He can tell you what really happened.
Thank you, Dr. Christian. That witness you found cleared up everything.
Not quite everything. There's Eileen.
Eileen, forgive me for having been such a heel.
Oh, Grant.
Gotten used to thinking of no one but myself.
No, I'm asking you to come back, Irene. Come back on any terms. I'll do anything.
Darling, I ask only that you keep on loving me. And that you realize that I'm in on this marriage, too.
Then you will come back?
Yes, darling, yes. Hold me close, Grant.
Oh, Judy, it's time we were getting back to the office.
Well, things are just getting interesting.
Yeah, there's a couple that have found out that love is a two-sided thing.
The curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play, but stand by, everybody, because our show is far from over. In just a moment, we will take you to the banquet hall of the Statler Hotel in Washington, D.C., where our star, Gene Herschold, is to be guest speaker at the 21st Annual Assembly of the Medical Society. But first, here's a word from Judy Price.
I'd like to tell our listeners about a lady who said she was so pleased with Vaseline petroleum jelly that she just had to write us. Recently, our four-year-old daughter accidentally burned her little nose, lips, and chin with a hot iron. I grabbed her fast, loaded the burned area with Vaseline petroleum jelly, and kept applying it liberally. Even though the burn blistered, it was healed in a week, and my little girl never complained once that it hurt. I've always heard that Vaseline petroleum jelly was good for burns, but never expected it to work so fast and so effectively. Thank you, Mrs. George Gould of East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. And, friends, you'll find that reliable Vaseline petroleum jelly is grand for scores of other uses. Rough, chapped skin and work sore hands. Get a jar today. Only 15 cents for the regular jar, 25 cents for the large economy size.
Now we take you to the banquet of the Medical Society of the District of Columbia, where Dr. Christian is being honored.
This is the banquet closing the 21st Annual Scientific Assembly of the Medical Society of the District of Columbia. Dr. William M. Ballinger, President of the Society, will present the Certificate for Meritorious Service to Mr. Gene Herschold. We now present Dr. Ballinger.
We are happy to have you with us this evening, Mr. Herschold. The doctors of the Medical Society of the District of Columbia, like doctors everywhere, spend most of the hours of their day practicing medicine. However, they often have time in the evening to enjoy themselves listening to good radio programs. And they, like thousands of other listeners, believe your characterization of Dr. Christian to be outstanding. With this in mind, here at the close of our 21st Annual Scientific Assembly, we have thought it fitting to compliment you on your fine work and have had inscribed this certificate to be presented to you, the first ever to be presented to anyone other than a doctor of medicine. It reads, "This certificate is presented to Gene Herschold for his sympathetic radio characterization of Dr. Christian. Mr. Herschold emphasizes the quality of the family physician which have won the respect and confidence of the people whom he serves. The medical profession is indebted to Mr. Herschold for bringing these qualities to public attention through the medium of his art. He reveals himself not only as an eminent actor, but as one who possesses an instinctive understanding of the motivation of a good physician. William M. Ballinger, President. Theodore Whipred, Secretary."
Dr. Ballinger and members of the Medical Society of District of Columbia, it is with deep gratitude that I accept for Dr. Christian the certificate of meritorious service to medicine that you have conferred upon our radio character. On behalf of the Cheesepro Manufacturing Company, who are the sponsors, Dorothy B. McCann, the producer, Rosemary DeCamp, who plays the perfect secretary nurse, and myself, I want to say thank you, and thank you very much. We have all worked together now for 13 lucky years to create Dr. Christian and to give our character human dimensions and understanding heart
high ethical ideals, all the quality of heart and mind that go to make the typical American family doctor. Your tribute tonight is a rich reward for our efforts. I played a great many roles in motion pictures, but playing Dr. Christian on the radio has given me more real satisfaction than any other part I've ever played. In fact, sometimes I'm not so sure that I'm playing a part. Our radio audience, which numbers many millions of listeners every week, has seen Herschel so identified with Dr. Christian that it rather puts me on the spot. Any impulses I might have to cut loose on occasion are quickly stymied by Dr. Christian. He has become my alter ego, even in my private life. Although I don't mind that, you understand. Dr. Christian is credited with doing a lot of good to others. But think of the good that he has done to me. Dr. Ballinger said some very nice things about Dr. Christian, something about his kindness, unselfish sacrifices, devotion to duty, close relationship with his patients. But who do you think has endowed Dr. Christian with these enduring qualities? The public and the medical profession, separately and together. Because in just about every town in these United States, there is a Dr. Christian. He is as American as baked ham and sweet potatoes. And I think we all want to keep him that way. The part the public has played in the making of Dr. Christian may not be fully known to all of you. For the past 9 years, we've conducted an annual script competition, which is open to everyone who feels that he has a story to tell. In these competitions, 69,134 scripts have been submitted, of which 408 have already been presented on the program and have earned for their writers over $125,000. Now, those of you who have written medical papers know that writing is not an easy job. Do you wonder that how nearly 70,000 people would even try to write a radio script about a single character? What character could touch so many lives as to make it possible? Only one, the family doctor. So you see, Dr. Ballinger, it is the people themselves, the patients who are most closely concerned, who depict Dr. Christian's kindness, personal sacrifices, devotion to duty. Because they have all experienced those qualities at one time or another in their own family physician. It must give you, who are doing in real life, so many more things for humanity than Dr. Christian can do on the radio. A warm glow to realize that the public appreciates and applauds you for it. Thank you very much.
That was our star, Gene Herschel. Next week, our prize play will be A Time to Remember by Peyton Richmond of Salem, Virginia. Now, a word from Judy Price.
I'm certain all you wise mothers listening know how wonderful Vaseline petroleum jelly is for babies' chafed and tender skin. But do you realize the comfort it can bring to you when you're bothered with dry, tender skin? Just try rubbing the irritated parts, legs, ankles, feet, with a little Vaseline petroleum jelly. You'll be amazed at the grand relief it brings. Use it for dry, cracked lips, or when delicate skin on knees and elbows becomes rough and tender. And naturally, after washing clothes or dishes, always apply a light coating of Vaseline petroleum jelly on hands and arms. You'll find that it brings almost instant relief, soothes dry, smarting skin so quickly. So for dry, tender skin, get yourself a jar of dependable Vaseline petroleum jelly. And when you buy, look for the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheese Brew Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity.
A portion of this program was transcribed. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.